Welcome to Sandman Storytime. That opening song was called The Riddle Song, and we have several riddles for you tonight along with the trivia questions. You can have a pen and paper with you to write down your answers. We also have two stories for you tonight. The first one is called The Frog Prince, and the second story is called Robin Hood and Maid Marian. So let's get underway with our first story. It's called The Frog Prince.
The Frog Prince, from Grimm's Fairy Tales, by Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm. Translated by Edgar Taylor and Marion Edwards. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Read by Bob Neufeld. One fine evening a young princess put on her bonnet and clogs and went out to take a walk by herself in a wood. And when she came to a cool spring of water that rose in the midst of it, she sat herself down to rest a while. Now she had a golden ball in her hand, which was her favorite plaything, and she was always tossing it up into the air and catching it again as it fell. After a time she threw it up so high that she missed catching it as it fell, and the ball bounded away and rolled along upon the ground, till at last it fell down into the spring. The princess looked into the spring after her ball, but it was very deep, so deep that she could not see the bottom of it. Then she began to bewail her loss, and said, "Alas, if I could only get my ball again, I would give all my fine clothes and jewels, and everything that I have in the world." Whilst she was speaking, a frog put its head out of the water, and said, "Princess, why do you weep so bitterly?" "Alas," she said, "what can you do for me, you nasty frog? My golden ball has fallen into the spring." The frog said, "I want not your pearls and jewels and fine clothes, but if you will love me, and let me live with you, and eat from off your golden plate, and sleep upon your bed, I will bring you your ball again." "What nonsense this silly frog is talking," thought the princess. "He can never even get out of the spring to visit me, though he may be able to get my ball for me, and therefore I will tell him he shall have what he asks." So she said to the frog, "Well, if you will bring me my ball, I will do all you ask." Then the frog put his head down and dived deep under the water, and after a little while he came up again with the ball in his mouth, and threw it on the edge of the spring. As soon as the young princess saw her ball, she ran to pick it up, and she was so overjoyed to have it in her hand again that she never thought of the frog, but ran home with it as fast as she could. The frog called after her, "Stay, princess, and take me with you, as you said." But she did not stop to hear a word. The next day, just as the princess had sat down to dinner, she heard a strange noise, tap, tap, plash, plash, as if something was coming up the marble staircase. And soon afterwards there was a great knock at the door, and a little voice cried out and said, "Open the door, my princess dear, open the door to thy true love here. And mind the words that thou and I said by the fountain cool in the greenwood shade." Then the princess ran to the door and opened it, and there she saw the frog, whom she had quite forgotten. At this sight she was sadly frightened, and shutting the door as fast as she could, came back to her seat. The king, her father, seeing that something had frightened her, asked her what was the matter. "There is a nasty frog," said she, "at the door, that lifted my ball for me out of the spring this morning. I told him that he should live with me here, thinking that he could never get out of the spring. But there he is at the door, and he wants to come in." While she was speaking, the frog knocked again at the door and said, "Open the door, my princess dear. Open the door to thy true love here, and mind the words that thou and I said by the fountain cool in the greenwood shade." Then the king said to the young princess, As you have given your word, you must keep it. So go and let him in." She did so, and the frog hopped into the room, and then straight on, tap, tap, plash, plash, from the bottom of the room to the top, till he came up close to the table where the princess sat. "Pray, lift me upon the chair," said he to the princess, "and let me sit next to you." As soon as she had done this, the frog said, "Put your plate nearer to me, that I may eat out of it." This she did, and when he had eaten as much as he could, he said, "Now I am tired. Carry me upstairs and put me into your bed." And the princess, though very unwilling, took him up in her hand and put him upon the pillow of her own bed, where he slept all night long. As soon as it was light, he jumped up, hopped downstairs, and went out of the house. "Now then," thought the princess, "at last he is gone, and I shall be troubled with him no more." But she was mistaken, for when night came again, she heard the same tapping at the door, and the frog came once more and said, "Open the door, my princess dear. Open the door to thy true love here, and mind the words that thou and I said by the fountain cool in the greenwood shade." And when the princess opened the door, the frog came in and slept upon her pillow as before, till the morning broke. And the third night he did the same. But when the princess awoke on the following morning, she was astonished to see, instead of the frog, a handsome prince, gazing on her with the most beautiful eyes she had ever seen, and standing at the head of her bed. He told her that he had been enchanted by a spiteful fairy, who had changed him into a frog, and that he had been fated so to abide till some princess should take him out of the spring and let him eat from her plate and sleep upon her bed for 3 nights. "You," said the prince, "have broken his cruel charm, and now I have nothing to wish for but that you should go with me into my father's kingdom, where I will marry you and love you as long as you live." The young princess, you may be sure, was not long in saying yes to all this, and as they spoke, a gay coach drove up, with 8 beautiful horses decked with plumes of feathers and a golden harness, and behind the coach rode the prince's servant, faithful Heinrich, who had bewailed the misfortunes of his dear master during his enchantment so long and so bitterly that his heart had well nigh burst. They then took leave of the king and got into the coach with 8 horses, and all set out, full of joy and merriment, for the prince's kingdom, which they reached safely. And there they lived happily a great many years. End of the Frog.
Tonight we have something a little different for you. We have 4 riddles that you can solve. We'll give you the riddles and then give you the answers afterwards. Ready? Here's riddle number 1. What word is always spelled wrong in every dictionary? Riddle number 2. What has a thumb and 4 fingers, but is not a hand? Riddle number 3. How can you make the number 7 even? And riddle number 4. What has legs but can't walk? And if you were listening to tonight's opening song, you might have the answer to this one. Let's go back and give you the answers. Riddle number 1. What word is always spelled wrong in every dictionary? The word wrong. Riddle number 2, what has a thumb and 4 fingers but is not a hand? The answer is a glove. Riddle number 3, how can you make the number 7 even? All you have to do is remove the letter S. Then 7 becomes even. Riddle number 4, what has legs but can't walk? A table. And there's your riddle answers. We'll have some trivia questions for you later after this next story called Robin Hood and Maid Marian.
Robin Hood and Maid Marian. Hello, this is Natasha, and this is the story of how the most famous robber who ever lived met his match. And his match was a young woman called Maid Marian. More than 800 years ago, a coach and horses was passing through Sherwood Forest. The passengers inside the carriage were a rich and important family, and they were guarded by four soldiers riding on horseback, two out in front and two behind. Even so, when they came to the part of the forest known as Greenwood, the father became very nervous, because he knew it was thick with thieves and bandits. His wife noticed that his finger was tapping on his knee, and she put her hand on top of his to calm his nerves. His beautiful daughter, whose name was Marion, closed her eyes and managed to fall asleep to the rocking of the carriage. "If the bandits attack," thought the father, "I will give up my gold. But I only pray that they do not touch a hair on the head of my dear Marion." And then what he feared happened. At first, the family did not even realize that they were being attacked. The robbers jumped down from the trees above and pulled the soldiers off their horses and onto the ground. It was all so skillfully planned that the guards were overpowered in less than a minute. The coach driver tried to whip up the horses to make them fly forward, but it was useless, for a tree lay across the road and he had to pull them up with a sharp jolt. They were caught in a trap. The father expected to hear the age-old cry of the highwayman, "Stand and deliver," which meant that they were to get out of their carriage and hand over their valuables. But instead, there was a polite tap on the door of the carriage, and a voice said, "Dear sir, be so kind as to step outside." "Ah, they mock me," the father said to his wife. As his foot sat down on the road, he noticed that his knee was wobbling. He found himself facing a young man dressed in green. Behind him stood six men, dressed in the same colour and armed with swords and long bows.
"Here," said the father, "take this purse of gold. Only, I beg you, do not touch my wife or daughter. I swear by Saint Mary and all that is sacred that they have no jewels or valuables on their persons."
In fact, this was not true. His wife at that moment was busy stuffing the jewels down the front of her dress.
"Good gracious," said the leader of the bandits. "What do you take me for? I would do no harm to a lady."
At that moment, Maid Marian jumped down out of the carriage.
"What are you doing?" cried the father. "Get back, dear, this instant."
But Maid Marian was a high-spirited young lady with a fiery temper. She went up to the bandit leader and slapped him around the face.
"Take that, you coward," she said. "Give me a sword and I'll show you how to fight."
The father was horrified, for he had no idea that his daughter practiced fencing with her brothers and was more skilled with a sword than any of them. She was no mean shot with a long bow and arrow too, but he had no inkling of that either. The robber touched the side of his face where she had swiped him.
"I would that that were a kiss," he said. "But your hand stings sweetly all the same. Now, my beautiful Amazon, spare your temper. In return for the gold your father has just given me, and for which I am truly grateful, my men shall ride behind your carriage to the edge of the forest and ensure that no criminals attack you. For I am sorry to say that this forest is full of the worst sort of people."
Maid Marian slapped him again around the face and then got back into the carriage with hot tears in her eyes. But the bandits were true to their word,
and gave the family their protection to the edge of the forest. Before they parted, the leader of the robbers once more tapped on the door of the carriage. He wished his victims a safe journey to their home. "And, my lady," he said to Maid Marian, "I so desire to have the pleasure of setting eyes on you once again. Pray, do tell me your name." At first she did not want to reply, but then she said softly, "Marian." And the robber said, "Well, dear Marian, this evening in Greenwood you have won the heart of Robin Hood." And with that, he jumped on his horse and sped away. "The cheek of it! The cheek of it!" said the mother. But the father was almost relieved. But the father was almost relieved, for often bandits did far more harm to travellers than they had received. 2 months went past, and Marian's father and mother decided that it was time for her to wed. They began talks with a rich lord whose eldest son was good-looking but extremely arrogant. When they told Marian that she must marry him, she was furious. "Do not I have any say in the matter?" she said. "My dear," said her father, "you are young and do not know what is best for you." But Marian's character was not the sort that could be forced to do anything unless she wanted it herself. And so she resolved to run away. She knew that many of the local boys from poor families had gone to Sherwood Forest and become outlaws. Some were robbers, but others lived by hunting the king's deer, which was against the law. She cut her own hair, dressed herself as a page boy, armed herself with a sword and long bow, and rode off on the fastest horse in her father's stable. Nobody knew better than her that it was dangerous to ride through the forest, especially alone. But she did not care, because she was so angry at the thought of marrying a man that she did not love or even like. "If I meet the robbers, I shall fight them," she said to herself. "And if they kill me, my life will be little loss to me, for I am so unhappy in my heart." She rode deep into the woods. Eventually she found a little clearing in which there stood an old log cabin. It was half fallen down, but she thought she would mend it and live there. She would survive by hunting and fishing. As she was hungry, she sat down to eat the bread and cheese that she had brought with her. While she was doing this, she heard footsteps and she jumped to her feet, her sword in hand. A man appeared, dressed in green, and she recognized him right away as Robin Hood, who had attacked her family. "Hold back!" she called out, pointing her sword at him. "For if you try and rob me, it will cost you your life." Robin was interested to find this spirited lad with no sign of any bristle on his chin. "Young boy," he said, "put down your sword, for I mean you no harm. I am just an innocent forester, and I came here to mend my cabin." "No, you're not," said Maid Marian. "You're Robin Hood, the notorious outlaw. Take one step closer and I'll run you through." For in truth, what had made Marian so angry was that he had not recognized her. "So much for his sweet words about winning his heart," she said to herself. "It was all meaningless hot air. I'll show him." Seeing the sword pointing dangerously towards him, Robin drew his own sword, meaning to use it to push Marian's aside. but she saw what was happening and thrust forward. He only just managed to deflect her sword from cutting his ear. And then they fought. They clashed, they thrust, they parried, they twirled. Marion drew blood from Robin's cheek, and that inflamed his anger. Then he fought back with all his strength, but she was nimble-footed and skilled. Even so, she took a cut above her eye. Now she was blinded by her own blood, and she was cutting wildly about her with her sword. Robin managed to get behind her and wrestle her to the ground. "Gently, gently," he was saying. "Calm yourself now. Time to stop fighting and be friends. I could use a boy like you in the band of my followers." He allowed Marion to turn round, and now he was looking into her face. "You faithless man," she said. "You do not know me." But he did, and he kissed her on the lips. And that's the story of how Maid Marian came to join Robin Hood and his men in Sherwood Forest. For now, from me, Natasha, bye-bye!
Here are tonight's trivia questions that you can answer A, B, or C. If you don't know the answer, guess at it and see how many you can get correct. Your body is made up of bones, organs, and muscles. Question number one, is your kidney a muscle, A, B, an organ, or C, a bone? Question number two, is your skull, A, an organ, B, a muscle, or C, a bone? Question number three, is your heart, A, an organ, B, a bone, or C, a muscle? And question number four, are your lungs A, organs, B, muscles, or C, bones? Now let's see if you learned a little bit about your body. Question number one, your body is made up of bones, organs, and muscles, and what is your kidney? The correct answer was B, it's an organ. Question number two, your skull, the correct answer was C, it's a bone. And question number three, your heart, the correct answer was A, it's an organ. And question number four, your lungs, the correct answer was also A, they are organs. We've come to the end of tonight's show. Thank you for stopping by and spending some time with us. We hope you enjoyed the riddles and the trivia questions, as well as the stories. We'll be back here again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with another Sandman Storytime show. Check down at the bottom of the Kids Radio page and download the free craft files. Our closing song is called Valderie. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you again tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Valderie! 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 Ha, 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 ha!